Hi, this is Peter Krasarnoff from SHINE, Seattle's hub for industry-driven nanotechnology education. And in collaboration with the NAC network, I'd like to present part of the characterization testing of nanostructures and materials unit in ESC 216. As part of Unit 1, Basic Techniques, this lecture is going to be on confocal microscopy. What we're going to review is just an introduction and look at different types of optical microscopy techniques. Then we'll look at confocal microscopy in particular and how confocal microscopy relates to nanotechnology. We'll then look at laser scanning confocal microscopy and a couple examples. Optical microscopy is the oldest type of microscope, and it uses visible light and a system of lenses to create an image of a sample. Although optical microscopes are not able to image nanostructures, they are important tools in nanotechnology characterization and an important tool for a nanotechnician to be able to use. Light microscopes can be used to image biological structures, as well as used in the inspection of wafers as part of a lithography process. In a survey of our technical advisory board, every single advisory board member noted that optical microscopy is an important technique for a nanotechnician to use out in industry. The resolution of a light microscope, R, as shown in this equation, is a function of the numerical aperture of the lens, Na is in this equation, and the wavelength of illumination, lambda, shown in this equation. R is equal to 0.61 multiplied by lambda divided by Na. This means that as the numerical aperture of the lens is at its maximum, close to 1, it is possible for the numerical aperture to be above 1 if the imaging medium is something other than air, but still, even if the imaging medium is something like oil, it's not going to be much larger than 1. And you have a wavelength of illumination, lambda, which is at its minimum at around 380 nanometers for visible light. Therefore, the resolution of a light microscope is limited to about 500 nanometers. We can't ever increase the numerical aperture of the lens system. And if we go to shorter light wavelengths, we're no longer going to be using an optical microscope. There are a couple different types of optical microscopes, and you can categorize optical microscopes in a bunch of different ways. I'm going to categorize them in terms of how the image is formed. So one type of microscope is a bright field illuminated microscope, or light transmission microscope, or a compound light microscope. These types of light microscopes form an image when light is transmitted through a sample. They typically have some type of lamp for illumination, and the sample is typically at least partially transparent to the light from the source. The image is often formed in the viewer's eye, or could be on a CCD camera, and then form an image on a computer. These typical compound light microscopes are the kind that you usually see in biology classrooms. A second type of optical microscope would be a dark field illumination microscope, or an episodic illuminated microscope, or reflected light microscopes. In these types of microscopes, like light reflected by the sample forms the image. A third type of microscope is a fluorescent light microscope. In a fluorescent light microscope, light emitted from the sample forms the image. So in a fluorescent light microscope, it's not light transmitted through the sample or light reflected by the sample. It is light emitted from the sample that forms the image. In order for this to happen, excitation wavelengths of light need to be absorbed by the sample, and the emitted fluorescent wavelengths are the ones which are used to form the image. Here's an example of a reflection microscope. This is an Epistar 2560 metallographic microscope that's in the SHINE Nanotechnology Lab. This reflection light microscope is attached with a CCD camera and then attached to a computer, and we can collect digital images of opaque samples, including samples such as silicon wafers that are used in a nanolithography process. Fluorescence microscopy, a different type of microscopy, utilizes photons emitted from the sample in order to form the image. This schematic on the left-hand side shows basically how these types of microscopes work. A light source produces a number of different wavelengths, shown here as a rainbow, and are filtered through an excitation filter such that only a narrow band of wavelengths are reflected off a dichroic mirror and through a set of objective lenses. These excitation wavelengths, shown in purple, are absorbed by the sample. If the sample is epifluorescent, which means fluoresces on its own, or if the sample contains a fluorescent dye or fluorescent marker, the excitation wavelengths will lead to a fluorescent photon emitted from the sample. This fluorescent photon, shown here as a green line, will go back through the objective lens, go through the dichroic mirror, through the emission filter, and into the ocular, and collected by a detector. On the right-hand side, we see a schematic diagram of one of these excitation wavelengths, in this case the purple and blue line, which is absorbed by the fluorophore in the sample. The excitation wavelength is typically higher in energy or lower in wavelength than the emission wavelength, which is lower in energy or higher in wavelength. So in this case, what we're showing is an excitation wavelength that's in the blue-violet color range and an emission wavelength, which is in the green range. This is one of the ways that fluorophores are excited in fluorescent microscopes, and there are a couple of other different ways as well. A confocal microscope is a specific type of microscope, which is usually a fluorescent microscope that contains a pinhole aperture and a photomultiplier detector. In a confocal microscope, the only light which reaches the detector is in-focus light, emitted from a single focal plane from the sample. Any light which is out of focus and comes from focal planes either above or below the in-focus plane is blocked by the pinhole in the confocal microscope and not collected by the photomultiplier detector. So if you look at the schematic on the left-hand side, what you see is two different pinhole aperture sizes and the focal planes where light will be emitted from the sample and then collected by the photomultiplier detector. In the left-hand image, we see a very narrow pinhole. In this case, only a very narrow Z-plane or a narrow band of focal plane photons will be collected by the objective and be focused such that they will make it through the pinhole detector and reach the PMT or the photomultiplier detector. Other wavelengths, other places in the sample which emit fluorescent photons, either above or below this focal plane, will be out of focus and will not make it through the pinhole detector. This gives confocal microscopes the unique advantage over other light microscopes in that they only image one individual Z-plane or only image one individual focal plane of the sample, rather than have blurry out-of-focus light coming from focal planes above and below a part of the sample that you're actually interested in. What you end up doing in a confocal microscope is instead of looking at something like a whole potato, imagine cutting a thin slice out of the center of the potato and looking at that. That is more like the image which is formed by a confocal microscope. So how are confocal microscopes used in nanotechnology if they are optical microscopes and their resolution is limited to 500 nanometers? Well, nanoparticles and quantum dots are used as fluorescent markers, and these types of fluorescent markers are often used by confocal fluorescent microscopes. Nanomaterials are also used in drug delivery, and the cells that these nanomaterials deliver drugs to can be analyzed using confocal microscopy. Nanomaterials are also used as antibacterial agents, and these bacteria can be imaged using a confocal microscope. And nanomaterials are used in many other biological processes, and since confocal microscopes are good at imaging biological structures, they can be useful for characterizing the interaction of nanomaterials with biological structures. Laser scanning confocal microscopy is a subset of confocal microscopy. In a laser scanning confocal microscope, typically a laser is used to illuminate the sample, and most of the laser scanning confocal microscopes have a number of different laser wavelengths which can be used for illumination. As shown in the diagram on the left-hand side, this laser bounces off a primary dichroic mirror, and then bounces off a set of scanning mirrors, and then through a set of objective lenses before it hits the sample. So instead of illuminating the entire sample at one time, the laser light rasters across the sample, pixel by pixel, much in the same way that a scanning electron microscope has an electron beam raster across a sample. This scanning action is done by the scanning mirrors. When the laser wavelengths are absorbed by the sample, if the sample is epifluorescent or contains a fluorescent marker, fluorescent light can be emitted by the sample. This fluorescent light, shown here in orange, goes through the set of lenses, bounces back off the scanning mirrors and through the dichroic mirror and finally through a pinhole. And as mentioned on the previous slide, if this is from the in-focus plane, these wavelengths will make it through the pinhole. Finally, these optical wavelengths are collected by photomultiplier detectors, and different photomultiplier detectors can detect different wavelengths of light. In this way, we can use different lasers for excitation, and we can use different photomultiplier detectors in order to detect emitted or fluorescent photons. And thus, laser scanning confocal microscope images often look multicolored. Also, the resolution of laser scanning confocal microscope images often looks sharper or better than regular transmission light microscope images. This is partly due to the fact that you have a higher to signal to noise ratio at each one of the individual pixels due to the fact you're only illuminating a small amount of the sample at a time. In addition, you're only getting a narrow Z-slice of one in-focus plane of the sample rather than out-of-focus light, which is above and below the in-focus plane of the sample, which you are putting under the microscope. This is an example of a student image using a laser scanning light microscope. In this image, three different fluorescent dyes were applied to the sample. The green dye was applied to the actin filaments in the cells, the blue dye was applied to the nucleus of the cells, and the red dye was applied to the mitochondria of the cells. By using three different excitation wavelength lasers and three different photomultiplier detectors, each which detect different wavelengths of fluorescent light, we're able to create a compound image with three different colors. On the right-hand side, you see a view of Shine's laser scanning confocal microscope that's in our nanotechnology lab. This is a standalone laser scanning confocal microscope, and it's the Olympus Flowview FE10i. This light microscope can use either typical 1x3 light microscope slides or also small petri dishes that samples can be placed in. Shine's laser scanning confocal microscope has a number of different specifications. It has four different excitation laser lines and two different objective lenses. The 60x lens is an oil immersion lens. There are four different photomultiplier detectors, and different fluorescent wavelengths can be collected and counted by these photomultiplier detectors. The chassis is fully enclosed and vibration isolated in an enclosed system, and our laser scanning confocal microscope does not require a dedicated room in order for it to operate. The laser scanning confocal microscope can produce 2D images, multiple Z-stacks, compose 3D images, look at Z-stacks over time, and multi-area imaging modes. Advantages to laser scanning confocal microscopes include the ability to view a variety of samples, including living samples and samples in aqueous media. They also produce high-resolution optical images, and they're fairly easy to use. Samples can be prepared on typical glass microscope slides or put in specialized petri dishes. Laser scanning confocal microscopes also have the ability to capture two-dimensional and three-dimensional images. Some disadvantages of laser scanning confocal microscopes include a limited magnification range, which is ultimately limited by the equation shown earlier in the lecture. Samples also must be epifluorescent, which means they fluoresce on their own, or be labeled with some sort of fluorescent dye, because only fluorescent light will be collected by the photomultiplier detectors. Imaging software, which runs the laser scanning confocal microscope, needs to be operated by a technician, and optimum parameters for each different sample takes practice and training in order to form clear-looking images in a small amount of time. Here are two examples of laser scanning confocal microscope images which were collected by nanotechnology students. On the left-hand side is an image of pine tree pollen. Each one of these pollen spores is around 50 microns in diameter. And two different excitation wavelengths were used to excite two different fluorophores in these epifluorescent pine tree pollen samples. On the right-hand side is a tar ovary epithelium, which was a standard sample made by a company called Life Sciences in Eugene, Oregon. Two different fluorescent dyes were used, a green dye used to image the filaments of the cells, and a blue dye which was used to image the nucleus of the cells. We can see this beautiful three-dimensional image which was constructed of multiple Z-stacks, and constructed in software. Some advantages and disadvantages of confocal microscopes include the ability to image live samples in situ and the possibility of making three-dimensional images which can be rotated and viewed on different sides in software. Confocal microscopes can also image samples in water or other media, and no vacuum is required. However, the samples must be epifluorescent or labeled with a fluorescent dye to be imaged by a laser scanning confocal microscope, and the magnification is ultimately limited by the optical excitation wavelength as well as the fluorescent emission wavelength from the sample. Practically, this means that you can image cells using a confocal microscope, but you can't image individual nanostructures. Here are some resources which you can go to find out more information about laser scanning confocal microscopes. They include a training site as well as Microscopy U, which is hosted by the Nikon Corporation. Olympus also has a similar site and similar tutorials. And there are also some good links from the University of Washington. This concludes the lecture video on laser scanning confocal microscopy as part of Unit 1. Funding for this lecture and this module was provided by North Seattle College, Shine, NAC, and the State of Pennsylvania.